Yankee Baseball Time. Yankee Baseball is brought to you by the Atlantic Richfield Company and your local Atlantic dealer. Atlantic keeps your car on the go with the gasoline and service that makes your car feel young again. And by Peel Brothers of Brooklyn, New York, who say, thank you very much for trying our Peel's Real Draft Beer. Now, in just a moment, Jerry, Phil, and Frank with the ball game. Everybody, this is Frank Messer welcoming you to New York Yankee Baseball. Jerry Coleman and I are on hand here at Six Stadium in Seattle, Washington, to bring you all the action in this second game of a three-game series between the Yankees and the Seattle Pilots. And again, we have a beautiful evening for baseball. The skies have been clear and sunny all day out here in Seattle, Washington. The temperature just a few minutes ago was 70 degrees, as it again today reached close to the 80-degree mark here in the Pacific Northwest. So we're expecting a good night. Mel Stottlemyre, a great drawing card out here, will be pitching for the Yankees, and Gary Bell will be on the mound for the Seattle Pilots. And this should be one of the larger crowds of the season here in Seattle, with Mel Stottlemyre, the big attraction, a native of this part of the country. And the big news tonight, a brand new Yankee lineup. Quite a few revisions on Ralph Houck's lineup card. And we'll be back with the lineups in just a moment.
For hundreds of years, fine china has been prized for its delicate translucent beauty and its regal splendor. Now Atlantic brings you fine china from across the sea at a fantastically low price. It's called Royal Elegance, and it captures the charm and grace of expensive fine china. A four-piece place setting of Royal Elegance can now be yours at an exceptionally low price from participating Atlantic dealers with your purchase of 8 gallons of gasoline. This offer may vary in some states. Each four-piece place setting consists of a cup, saucer, dinner plate, and bread and butter plate. You can charge your place settings and accessory pieces of Royal Elegance on your Atlantic Richfield credit card. You'll be proud to display Royal Elegance to your guests on special occasions, but you'll also enjoy Royal Elegance every day because it's delicate in appearance only. Royal Elegance takes steady wear and repeated soakings in your dishwasher, but still keeps its regal bearing. Start your collection of Royal Elegance at your participating Atlantic station. Royal Elegance will make your table fit for a king.
Yankee lineup, and to give you the lineup and talk about those changes, here is Jerry Coleman. Jerry?
Okay, Frank Messer. Manager Ralph Houck reached into his grab bag and switched the Yankee lineup around, although using the same faces. We'll give it to you right now as the umpires come out of the dugout. Manager Ralph Houck trailing along. Manager Joe Schultz of the Seattle Pilots coming to home plate. The starting lineup for the Yankees as it reads tonight. Horace Clark at second base, leading off. Jerry Kenney has been switched from center field to third base, and he's batting second. Bobby Mercer makes the switch from third to right field, and Bobby stays in the number three spot. Roy White in left field, batting cleanup. Joe Pepitone at first base, hitting fifth. Jimmy Hall moves from right field. He's playing center field tonight and batting sixth. Tommy Tresh at shortstop, batting seventh. Jake Gibbs, behind the plate tonight, having recovered from that severe bruise on his left thigh, is back in the lineup. He'll hit eight. And Mel Stottlemyre, as Frank Messer told you, will be pitching and batting ninth. For the Seattle Pilots, Tommy Harper at second base leads the majors in stolen bases with 18. He's leading off. Mike Egan in right field, batting second. Tommy Davis, who drove in four last night, is in left field this evening, batting third. Don Mincher back in the lineup. He rested last night. He's at first base and batting cleanup. Wayne Comer will be in center field, batting fifth. At third base and hitting sixth, Rich Rollins. Jerry McNurtney, the catcher, batting seventh. Ray Euler at shortstop, hitting eighth. And Gary Bell, the veteran right-hander, pitching and batting ninth. The umpires, John Rice behind the plate, Larry Goetz at first. Make that Russ Goetz at first, Larry Knapp at second, Bill Kunkel at third. Now with the field vacant right now, nobody on At this moment, let's pause for station identification.
Hi, this is Jerry Ducey. Join me for my telephone talk show weeknights on WGY Schenectady.
The Seattle Pilots take the field, and the fans here, a huge crowd, just about packing this small ballpark. I think they can fit about 20 or 23 in here when it's completed. There are still areas in the bleachers in right field and in center field that haven't been completely finished. But right now, the fans here at Six Stadium on their feet, and momentarily, our national anthem. Pilots, Ray Oiler went at it. Eventually, Oiler and Mercer were ejected on a play at second base, and manager Ralph Houk also kicked out. That was in the third inning of last night's ball game. Seattle won that game last night by a score of 8-4, and they got 7 of the 8 runs in the first inning. Gary Bell is warming up. Right now, let's take a look at the scores in the American and the National League. Boston at Oakland, they're scoreless after 1.5. White Sox leading the Tigers 1-0 after 6. Washington at California, no scores yet there. Cleveland 8, Kansas City 3, they're playing the 9th. Baltimore 2, Minnesota 1, Minnesota batting in the bottom of the 8th. In the National League, this afternoon, the Braves beat the Mets 4-3. That was tonight, I'm informed. We kind of forget the time up here. It's 3 hours split between the West Coast and the East Coast. Another night action this evening in the National League. Houston 10, Montreal 3. They're playing the 9th inning. L.A. at St. Louis, postponed because of rain. Cincinnati beat Philadelphia 6-4. San Francisco 10, the Pirates 8. They're playing the 9th. And listen to this. The White Sox beat, or rather the Chicago Cubs beat the San Diego Padres 19-0. Ernie Banks had a couple of home runs. Oliver had one, and Young also had one for the Cubs. So we're ready to go here. Horace Clark stepping in, and now let's go back to Frank Messer for the play-by-play.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Horace is hitting 269 as he stands in there left-handed against the right-hander Gary Bell. The first pitch of the ball game is low. Ball one, and this game is underway. The Seattle Pilots riding the crest of a four-game win streak, their longest of the season. Yankees trying to snap a five-game losing streak. The wind-up on the pitch. Strike call, letter high, got the outside part of the plate. Gary Bell, 32-year-old right-hander, originally signed into pro ball in the Cleveland organization. Looks down at Jerry McNerney, picks up a sign, rocks back on the left foot. Kicks and throws. Clark takes ball 2, 2-1. In case you went out with us last night, this compact ballpark measures 320 down the right field line, 305 feet down the left field line, 345 to the power alleys in right center and left center, and the straightaway center field, the sign says 405 feet. Rather cozy park. The pitch to Clark. Hit up in the air into straightaway center. Moving forward is Wayne Comer. He is under it, and the center fielder puts it away, one down. Now the batter will be Jerry Kenney. Kenney is hitting 218. Had a couple of base hits last night, and tonight finds himself for the first time at third base. A little game he might play along with us. We'll think about it now. give it to you in just a second. You might want to test your memory a little bit. Lined up by Gary Bell. First of all, the pitch to Kenny inside. Corner is picked up for a call strike. In the starting lineup tonight, the Yankees, when they take the field, will have six men who have played third base for the Yankees. We'll try to pick those up. Five of them may be fairly obvious. Pitch to Kenny. Bounce foul down the first base line, and it's strike two. Elston Howard flags down the ball. Defensively, the Pilots have Tommy Davis in left field tonight, Wayne Comer in center, and Mike Hegan in right. Rich Rollins at third, Ray Oiler at shortstop, Tommy Harper at second base, and Don Mincher at first. Jerry McNerney, again the catcher, and Gary Bell on the mound. Bell winds, kicks, and throws, and Kenny takes just downstairs. Looked like it had the plate, but must have been just below his knees. We look almost directly down on home plate from our vantage point here, and it's hard to tell the balls that are up and down. You can see them across the plate pretty well. There's a line drive to left field. It's going to fall in for a base hit for Kenny. Tommy Davis comes up with it. Jerry Kenny, a big turnaround first, now comes back to the bag as Tommy Davis fires into Oiler, and the Yankees have the first hit of the ball game as Kenny lined it solidly to the left side. It brings up Bobby Mercer. Listen to the crowd. Listen to it. He's getting quite a reaction. Mercer went 2-for-2 before being thrown out last night for the fight with Ray Oiler. Mercer is now hitting .313, 9 home runs. He leads the majors and runs batted in with 32. Left-hand hitter takes outside, ball one. Mercer, playing in right field tonight, is playing the outfield for the first time in his professional career. He's still thinking about those six third basemen. Bill Kane, our statistician, gave me a little knowing grin. He knows. Think about it. We'll tell you where they are in a few minutes. Over to first base, Kenny back safely. Think about it in the bottom half of the inning, because it won't become official until then, until Kenny actually takes position at third. Mincher holding against the speedy Kenny. The pitch to Mercer. He takes a swinging bunt and misses. Mercer moved up about 2 or 3 steps that time, had squared off in bunt fashion, and then swung at the pitch. Swinging bunt strike, 1-1 on Bobby. Mercer last night hit his 9th home run of the year, and he hit it well up into the right field bleachers. Those right field seats are pretty well filled tonight. There goes Kenny. The pitch is swung out and missed. The throw to second, not nearly in time. Kenny is in there easily. Stolen base for Jerry Kenny, his 8th of the year, and the club leadership. Pitch was down low. Mercer swung on the pitch to protect the runner. It's 1-2. And McNerney's throw was not nearly in time to get Kenny at second. Gary Bell had his biggest year in the majors in 1959 when he won 16 and lost 11 for the Cleveland Indians. He deals. Mercer swings. There's a long fly ball to right field. This one is going. It is gone, baby. Number 10 for Bobby Mercer, way up in the right field seats. 18 rows deep, they tell us, on the PA. And the Yankees lead 2-0. Number 10 for Mercer is 33rd and 34th runs butted in. Jerry, that's the best way in the world to retaliate from those knockdown pitches.
I think Bobby may have moved to Seattle. He's 3-for-3 up here, 2 home runs and a single. And, of course, he has been red hot for the Yankees. I believe he had 7 RBIs on this trip going into tonight's ballgame, and that extends it to 9 and retains the American League and Major League leadership with 34 now.
All right, here is Roy White, the left fielder. Roy takes a strike over the outside corner. Roy is hitting .264 as he steps in. Roy has had 2 home runs this year, 12 runs batted in. Bell deals. White runs up to bunt, takes the bat away from a high pitch, and the count is even, 1-1. John Rice, the plate umpire. Russ gets it first, Larry Knapp at second, Bill Kunkel at third. The umpires really had their hands full last night with all the action on the field other than baseball action. 1-1 pitch to White. Low, ball two. Two balls and one strike. Mercer was saying in the hotel this afternoon that the fight is, well, it's not forgotten, but the hard feelings are. But he said, wait till I get to bat tonight. Well, he did it. White takes ball three outside. It's 3-1.
Frank, there's a strong evidence that there are many other people in the news media waiting for something to happen. The upper deck here, loaded with cameramen.
3-1 pitch to Roy White. He takes a low ball, four, White is on. So the Yankees, in the first inning, have scored two runs and a single by Kenny, a homer by Mercer. They now have White at first with one out and Joe Pepitone moving in. Pepe went, is batting .241 as he comes into this game. Pepe was hitless last night in four at bats. He draws quite a reaction from the crowd. Mincher holding against White at first. The pitch to Pepitone. Swung on and missed. Strike one. Pepitone was way out in front of that one. The outfield is sort of bunched against Pepitone. The left fielder Davis gives up the left field foul line. Comer straight away in center. And out in right field, Hegan is deep and not tucked around toward the corner. He's playing over toward right center. So the outfield bunched sort of up the middle. The infield the same way. The unbalanced appearance, Mincher holding at first. Pepitone takes low, ball one. One ball, one strike. Umpire wants the ball. Bell fires it in. Strange thing about the battle last night, Cherry at second base. I am told by several players, and Mercer agrees. I didn't have a chance to talk to Euler, but with about 30 players on top of the two of them on the ground, they're apologizing to each other. Bobby said, I was sorry, and Euler said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it. Bobby said, well, I feel the same way, and Euler said, well, for goodness sake, when you get off of me. Here goes White. Pepitone fouls the ball up in the air behind the plate. Coming back for it, McNerney has a play on it, makes the catch, and throws to first, but not in time. Roy White broke with a pitch, and then raced back to first base as Pepitone fouled out to McNerney. Just picture that out there at second base. Now, you're the two combatants. You're on the ground with about 30 ball players on top of you. Euler wants to throw back to second base now, claiming White went around the bag, and White is out. He did not touch second on the way back. The Pilots make the appeal play at second, and Roy White is declared out for having rounded the bag and not touching second on his way back to first, which he must do. So it goes as a double play with White out at second base on the Seattle Pilots appeal. The Yankees get two runs on two hits. There were no errors, nobody left. At the end of one half inning of play, the score, the Yankees 2 and the Pilots coming to bat.
Atlantic Interior is made to give your car all the power it needs for normal high-speed driving. But sometimes your car runs into adverse driving conditions. Heavy traffic, long idling periods, stop-and-go traffic, sudden stops. A gasoline blended to help your car combat these tough driving conditions is this same high-powered Atlantic Imperial. Atlantic Imperial is made for the toughest driving conditions, high speed and stop-and-go traffic. So you could say Atlantic Imperial is just your speed. Next time you fill up, fill up with a gasoline that pays off from 0 to 60. Atlantic Imperial, a product of Atlantic Richfield Company.
Don't forget, the Yankees return Friday night to the stadium against the California Angels, followed by a Ladies' Day Saturday afternoon game then a Sunday doubleheader. A big weekend coming up. Midweek, the following week, it's Tuesday night and Wednesday night against the Oakland A's, and then following that, another big weekend with the Minnesota Twins. Friday night, Saturday, a Sunday doubleheader, capped off by ball day on May the 25th, all against the Twins. Frank?
All right, Jerry Stottlemyre to Tommy Harper. First pitch, low and outside, ball one. The play on white, if you want to score, goes 2-1-6. Catcher to pitcher to shortstop. Harper, right-hand hitter, bunts at the ball and fouls it. One ball and one strike. Harper coming into this game hitting 308. He had three hits last night. He and Mike Egan are tied for the Seattle Pilots team leadership in batting, both of them hitting 308. Harper has also stolen 18 bases, tops in the major leagues. He had one last night. Stottlemyre's pitch to him, fastball swung on and missed. One ball and two strikes to Tommy Harper. Yankees with Roy White in left field, Jimmy Hall in center, and Bobby Mercer in right. Jerry Kenney at third base. Thresh at short, Clark at second, Pepitone at first. Jake Gibbs back in the lineup for the first time since last Friday night doing the catching. Stottlemyre winds and deals. Harper swings and misses strike three. So there's one out as Stottlemyre fans Harper. And the batter will be the right fielder, Mike Keegan. Like Harper, Keegan is hitting 308. He is a left-hand batter. The coaches, Frank Crosetti at third base, Ron Plaza, former infielder, at second base. Kenny in on the grass against the left-hand hitting Keegan. And the pitch, low, ball one. Jerry Kenny in his first game at third base. How about those six Yankees that have played third? You get a little break right here. Why? We'll tell you who they are. Why not at him when you think of it? Pitch is low and outside. Keegan steps back. Mel Stottlemyre, with a record of 5-2, has quite a delegation from his, well, the two towns that claim him, Madsen and Grandview from over in the valley. There's a fastball down low, and he's behind 3-0 to Mike Keegan. Among those here in the ballpark tonight, Mel's mother and dad. They were also here last night for a reunion with their son. Got a picture in the paper out here. I don't know whether it still was carried around the country or not, but may have been in the New York papers of Mel posing with his mom and dad here at the ballpark. 3-0 pitch to Keegan. He takes strike one. 3-1. Keegan last night went 0 for 4. Stottlemyre to the windup, 3-1 pitch, swung on and fouled back. Full count now, 3-2 on Mike Keegan. Tommy Davis on deck. Talking about Yankees who have played third base. Now, Kenny tonight, of course, Mercer. I'm sure you remember Roy White has played third. Sure you remember Horace Clark has played third base. And you remember Tommy Thresh has played third base. Now, those are five. Stottlemyre deals, 3-2 pitch. Keegan bounces it down the first base line, and now it's foul before it gets to the bag. The sixth Yankee in the lineup tonight who has played third base for the Yankees is Jake Gibbs. In fact, he played third base before he ever caught. I can hardly blame you if you don't remember it. I think Jake played only one or two innings at third. But he did play there. In the minor leagues, Jake played everywhere except pitch and center field. He didn't play center. Played all around the infield, left and right fields. 3-2 pitch again to Keegan with one out. Bounced down the first baseline. This one is fair. Pepitone has it, makes the race himself, and retires Keegan unassisted. Well, there are two down, and Tommy Davis will come up. Tommy Davis, batting 191. He was a big man last night. Davis knocked in four runs last night. A bases-loaded double his first time up. He had another double later in the ballgame to drive in another. Right-hand hitter. Swings and misses, strike one. Two-time National League batting champion, Tommy Davis, has never since been the ball player that he was before he suffered a broken ankle. Chokes slightly on the bat, takes over a bit low, and the count is even 1-1. This is the first time Mel Stottlemyre has ever pitched professionally in his home state. He gets a strike over the outside corner, and it's 1-2 on Tommy Davis. Mel won his first five starts this year. Since then, he has lost his last two decisions. Both games, incidentally, were one-run decisions. 2-1 and 3-2. Davis fouls one off to the left side. Stottlemyre leads the Yankee staff and wins with five in starts, complete games, innings pitched, and he's pitched the Yankees' low-hit game of the year, a one-hitter against the Tigers. He shut them out 4-0. Pitch to Davis. Bounce down the first baseline. Foul. Just foul. Pepitone got to the ball. Count holds 1-2. Says this has to be a big thrill, pitching in his home state and this close to his hometown. Wines and deals 1-2 to Davis. Struck him. Nope, he fouled it. Just fouled. Another 1-2 pitch coming to Tommy Davis. Here it is. Drilled out towards center field. Moving to his left is Jimmy Hall and makes the catch on the run in the gap in right center. So the side is retired. Three up, three down. Nothing across for the Pilots. And at the end of one full inning, it's New York 2 and Seattle nothing.
Students, today's students, as loyal cigarette smokers, let's discuss certain little drawbacks we all have to face. For instance, of course cigarette smoking causes lung cancer and heart disease. The doctors don't have to keep harping on that. We all know that. And we all know that cigarettes aren't the only troublemakers either. For example, I know a man who broke his back merely bending over to tie a shoelace. But do you hear the doctors telling us to give up wearing shoes? Of course not. And they go on and on about how cigarettes cause shortness of breath, putting an added burden on the heart. Well, I say the heart was put there to work, and it had just better get to work or get out. Now then, let's all light up and enjoy a good smoke.
For more on cigarette smoking, call your American Cancer Society.
Two quick scores for you. The Senators, who have yet to win on the West Coast, they're 0-6 on this trip out here to the far west, are leading California 1-0 after one on the home run by Mike Epstein. And Carew has hit a two-run shot in the eighth inning to put the Twins ahead of the Orioles 3-2. Baltimore batting top of the ninth. Frank?
All right, Jerry, and here is Jimmy Hall to lead off the second. Hall is batting 250. Left-hand hitter, staring out at Gary Bell. Veteran right-hander winds and deals, and he's outside, ball one. Jimmy Hall in last night's ball game went 1-for-4, scored a run. Rollins in close to third at the edge of the grass. Bell winds, 1-0 pitch. Outside again. Gary Bell does not want Jimmy Hall to pull. Trying to work the outside corner, making it to left field or up the middle. Fresh on deck, then Jake Gibbs. Yankees leading 2-0 on Mercer's first inning homer. The pitch. Lined out into left field, Tommy Davis, right there, makes the catch. Joe Hall is retired. One down and Fresh steps in. Fresh is hitting 189. Tommy had two hits last night, a double and a single. He went 2-for-4. He's staying with his new batting stance. Choked up a bit on the handle. Nope, he's down at the end of the handle right now as he moves in there. Slightly closed stance. He bunts one to the first base side of the mound. Picked up by Bell. He's got to hurry. He's got him in a close play at first base. Fresh out by a half a step. Bell to Mincher. Two down and Jake Gibbs the batter. Gibbs is hitting 219. His first action since being roughed up at the plate by Burt Campanaris down in Oakland last Friday night. Jake suffered spike wounds on both legs, but more serious, he had a rather deep-seated bruise on the left thigh that prevented him getting down in the catcher's crouch behind the plate. Bell delivers to him. Jake takes inside at the knees, ball one. Rollins plays Gibbs, as he did Hall, fairly close and wide of the line at third, right at the edge of the grass. Here's the pitch. Low. Two balls and no strikes. Dick Houser coaching at third for the Yankees. Elston Howard coaching over at first. Folks still coming into this ballpark. They've filled the stands up pretty well. Still some room out in the bleachers. There's the windup and the 2-0 pitch. Ball three. They tell me this has a chance to be the biggest crowd of the year here at Seattle. The battle on the field last night, plus Stottlemyre pitching. 3-0 pitch. Gibbs takes ball four and he's on 4 pitches. Plus, of course, the fact that the Seattle Pilots have won their last 4 ball games. And great weather, just unbelievable weather out here. Everybody's talking about it. I didn't know what to expect myself. But the natives out here say that they just can't remember a stretch in May where the weather has been so good for so many days in a row. Mel Stottlemyre moves in on the plate. Mel has 4 hits in 21 trips, batting 190. The pitch to him. He takes high, ball one. Right now, Gary Bell cannot find the strike groove. Yankees lead 2-0. Two outs here in the second. Mincher holding against Gibbs at first base. Stottlemyre right down on the end of the bat handle, waving it back and forth. Feet spread in the batter's box. Bell sets and deals. Mel swings. There's a fly ball. Well, it's a left field. Back goes the left fielder Davis on the warning track, and he makes the catch. Right at the fence, about the 340-foot mark. The Stottlemyre hits the ball well, but Davis pulls it in for the third out. For the Yankees, no runs, no hits. There were no errors, a walk and a man left at the end of 1.5. The score is New York 2 and Seattle nothing.
Let's go, let's go. Let's go, let's go. Join the Free State Naval Air Reserve today.
Hi, gang.
Hi, Snoopy.
Let's take a look at today's words of wisdom, which say, show me a man who's a naval aviator, and I'll show you a man who's really flying. Now, what exactly do we mean by that?
Yeah, what do we mean by that?
We mean that you college graduates have a great opportunity to become a naval aviator and choose the type of aircraft you wish to fly. The Navy's Aviation Officer Candidate Program allows you to earn your commission in just 16 short weeks. That's a whole lot better than 16 long weeks. Contact your nearest Naval Air Station or Naval Air Reserve Training Unit today.
Join the Space Base Naval Air Reserve today.
Jerry Coleman. We'll go to the bottom half of the second inning with Mincher, Comer, and Rollins coming on for the Seattle Pilots. talking to Leonard Pappas, a very able columnist and writer for the New York Times before the ball game tonight. And Lenny sprang this one on me. He said that he thought it was very unusual, and I have to agree, that there are seven men in the Yankee lineup tonight who have played three different positions for the Yankees. Now, there's one to think about as we keep talking about this revamped lineup. Stottlemyre ready to pitch to the left-hand hitting Don Mincher. And Mincher hits one on the ground up the middle. Clark backhands it behind second, but will have no play. Clark knocked the ball down, but had no play. It's a base hit for Mincher. And for Mincher, his 24th hit of the year as he came in batting 232. On New York Yankee baseball, we pause for station identification.
Harry Downey asks you to join me weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. here on WGY 810 on your dials, connected.
The batter is Wayne Comer, right-hand hitting center fielder. Comer batting 254. He went 0-for-3 last night, but walked twice and scored both times he was on. He takes the fastball in there for a call, strike one. Pepitone holding against Mincher at first. Clark shaded well to his right toward the bag at second. Fresh also playing more or less up the middle. Jerry Kenny a couple of steps behind the bag and wide at third. Pitches down low to Comer and the count evens, one ball, one strike. Roy White at deep left field. Jimmy Hall just about straight away in center. Bobby Mercer is the short man in right field. The pitch to Comer. Foul over the heads of the cameraman on the roof to our right that Jerry was talking about a few minutes ago. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 that we can count right there. Plus, there's another contingent down here to our left. Still cameraman and movie cameraman. Jerry, you know, they've got to be hoping for a repeat of last night.
We may have 25,000 boxing fans here tonight, Frank.
1-2 pitch to Comer. Bounced slowly to Kenny. His first chance at third. He throws to second for one. Back to first, not in time. Mincher barreled into Clark at second. Forced a bad throw from Horace. He got it to Pepitone on one hop. So Kenny handled his first play at third base in good fashion, Jerry, as he snapped a quick throw to Clark at second.
That first one's a tough one, Frank. I know that Kenny is very happy to have it out of the way. I'm sure that Bobby Mercer will be looking forward to his first shot. Once you get that in your hip pocket, you feel a lot better.
One out as Mincher has been forced at second. Comer on at first, and Rich Rollins, the third baseman, steps in. Rollins is hitting 218. Right-hand batter. Rollins last night went 0-4-2. Make it 0-3. He goes for the pitch and misses. Strike one. Pepitone continues to hold against the base runner. Now Comer at first base. The Yankees leading 2-0. In case you weren't with us, Mercer did it in the first inning. He did his thing with Kenny on. Check swing and a ball is outside to Rollins. One ball, one strike. Speaking of Yankees at various positions, Clark has played second base, third base, and shortstop for the Yankees. Kenny, as of tonight, has played third base, shortstop, and center field. 1-1 pitch coming down to Rollins. Here it is. Low outside. Nice save by Gibbs. Mercer now has played right field, third base, and shortstop. Roy White has played left field, center field, and third base. Pepitone has played first base, center field, and right field. 2-1 pitch to Rich Rollins. Comer at first. Fouls it off the end of the bat, rolling over toward the Yankee dugout. Jimmy Hall has played the three outfield positions, left, center, and right, in his brief tenure with the Yankees. Tommy Tresh has played shortstop, third base, and left field. So there are seven Yankees in the lineup tonight that have played three different positions for the Yankees. Two pitch will be coming down to Rollins. Here it is. Bounce foul to the left side this time. One out, Comer at first. Sun is down, but it's still daylight out here in Seattle. Pink clouds we can see off to the left. We cannot see Mount Rainier tonight. Bit of a haze in the air, and that beautiful, majestic mountain that towers over this area, some 14,000 feet high, not visible this evening. 2-2 pitch. High, ball three. Full count now on Rollins, 3-2. Comer looks over to Crosetti, and so does Rollins. Of course, Rollins has to do what he can up there with a 3-2 count, but he wants to know whether the runner will be going or not. We'll know in a moment. Stottlemyre rubs on the baseball. Mel, gloved hand on the left knee. Ball behind the right hip, looking down. Brings his hands together just below the letters. Comer goes. The pitch is hit up in the air to left field. Right was deep. He has to come in. Still coming. He's under it now. Makes the catch. Throws over toward first base, and it is not in time. Comer got back. Two down, and the catcher, Jerry McNurtney, steps in. Well, he and Fernandez just about got into it last night. Fernandez barreling in at the plate, trying to score from second. Was out by, 10 feet or so. Fernandez just stuck his shoulder down, tried to knock the ball loose, which is the play in baseball, Jerry, and McNurtney took a bit of exception to it. I think if we had not had the Donnybrook out at second earlier, nothing would have been said on that play, or nothing, no action.
Now, you see that quite frequently in the major leagues. The catcher, of course, has to be ready for that particular type play.
First pitch to McNurtney, right-hand batter. He takes it across, strike one. McNurtney is hitting 286. No balls and one strike. Comer at first. Two away. Stottlemyre deals. There's a bouncer to the right side. It may go through. Clark's got it back on the grass. Lobs a throw to Pepitone, not in time. Clark tried to make an off-balance throw as he went back in the right field grass to come up with that ground ball. Just looped it up in the air. I think, Jerry, that's all he could do with that one. He didn't want to take time to set himself. He just, all in one motion, fielded it and sort of pushed it to Pepitone. But on the lob throw, McNurtney beat it out to the base hit. In the Donnybrook with Bobby Mercer last night, steps in. What a right-hand batter, the shortstop. The runners at first and second and two down. Kenny backs up at third against the right-hand hitting order. Order struck out his only time up last night. Takes a ball of high. Is batting 191. He's never been noted for his hitting ability, but he's a smooth fielding shortstop. Schultz up on the bat handle. Bats out of a slight crouch, knees bent, bend at the waist, here's the pitch. Bounce foul down the third base side. Yankees leading 2-0. We're in the bottom half of the second, two on and two gone for the Pilots. Yankee dugout now waving Bobby Mercer more toward center field and back a few steps.
Frank, this is a tough spot for the manager because he's got two men in two brand new spots and he's got to stay on top of them throughout the entire ball game for play situations and locations as to where to play.
One more pitch. Foul back. Homer at second got a big break to a third then and stopped. One ball and two strikes, Warner. Bobby Mercer will have to keep an eye on the dugout, too, to be sure that he doesn't miss a sign from there. Homer takes his lead and has his back almost toward third. He's looking back toward Clark. Backs off another couple of steps. The set by Stottlemyre. The 1-2 pitch coming to Ray Euler. Here it is. Bounced out to the mound. Stottlemyre's up with it. And it's a foul ball now. Stottlemyre through to first base. Plate umpire John Rice says, no, it's a foul ball off his leg. Walking around down at the plate. Must have been his left leg. He's favoring it just a bit. So the count holds one ball, two strikes. Comer at second, McNerney at first. Yankees leading 2-0. Stottlemyre throws the rubber, looks down to Jake Gibbs. Has the sign, brings his hands together below the letters. And the pitch. Ground ball left side. Kenny in front of Trash is up with it. Fires to Pepitone in time. And the side is retired. Jerry Kenny going deep to his left. Got in front of Trash to field that ball and fired out Euler. And for the Seattle Pilots, no runs, two hits. No Yankee errors, two men left. And at the end of two, the score. The Yankees 2 and the Pilots nothing.
There's something fine going on at all participating Atlantic stations, and the response has been just great. We mean the fine china that participating Atlantic dealers now have available. Royal Elegance. Silver-trimmed edge, clear bell tone, Royal Elegance will do wonders for any table setting. This is fine china that you'll be proud to serve your guests or even use for everyday use for your family. It's rugged enough to take heavy use, and its attractive pattern will bring out many compliments from guests on special occasions. Each four-piece plate setting of cup, saucer, dinner plate, and bread and butter plate is yours at an exceptionally low price from participating Atlantic dealers with a purchase of 8 gallons of gasoline. This offer may vary in some states. You can even charge your Royal Elegance Fine China on your Atlantic Richfield credit card. Fine China at a very low price. It's yours at participating Atlantic stations. Stop in today.
Well, Frank Messer, we've got a final score in that will relate rather strongly to the Eastern and Western divisions in the American League and who leads them. Minnesota beat Baltimore 4-2. The winning pitcher for the Twins, Boswell. The loser for the Orioles, Cuellar. Carew's home run in the eighth inning put the Twins over the top. Now, Boston leads Oakland 2-0 after 3.5, and should Boston win that one, they'll tie the Orioles, and Minnesota will have the Western Division lead all to themselves, the way the time goes on.
All right, Jerry, here's Horace Clark as we go to the third inning. Horace Clark, the center, his first time up, takes the pitch inside, ball one. Kenny on deck. Then Mercer. Rollins in on the grass, the third, the pitch. Missed outside. Two balls and no strikes to Horace Clark. I'll tell you the truth. That Hegan in right field is almost over in center field against Clark. They bunched the outfield tight to the left. If Horace could pull one to right field, he'd get a triple easy. He tries to, but fouls it. Two balls, one strike. Even in this short ballpark, the way Hegan is playing, if Clark pulled one down the line, Jerry, I'd have to think he could go for three.
There's a lot of room down there. Hegan almost into right center field.
The windup in the 2-1 pitch. Lined out toward left center. Coming on for it is Comer, and he drops the ball. Clark stops at first base. We'll see how they score that. When Comer picked it up quickly, threw into second. It's a base hit. He tried a shoestring catch, got the glove down, had the ball in his glove, but couldn't hold on to it. And Horace Clark gets a base hit on a line drive to center. Hit number three for the Yankees. That would have been a sensational catch. Throw to first base by Bell. Clark is back. Comer came up with one of those, as I recall, last night. He made a fine catch out there. Mencher tried to decoy Clark. He fainted with the ball back to the pitcher, but Clark was not fooled. Here's Kenny. He had a single left his first time up, and he was on when Mercer homered. The pitch to him, strike call. They play Kenny just as they did Clark. Keegan, well, Keegan is back toward right field about three or four steps. But he's well over in right center. Keegan was almost in center field against Clark. Kenny, feet close in the batter's box. Swings in this one. One hopper back to Bell. He throws to Harper for one. Back to first. Double play. And that's going to bring up a beat. Oh, Elston Howard and Jerry Kenny hopping on. Russ Getz, the first base umpire on that call. Ralph Houck is up on the dugout steps. He's undecided whether to go out or not, but he will not go out. Mighty close play at first base, and Getz said Kenny was out. It's a double play. Pitcher to Harper to Mitcher. And Elston Howard still carrying on the argument just a little bit with Mr. Getz as Bobby Mercer steps in. Mercer homers in the first inning for Bobby Mercer, his 10th of the year. He takes a strike. Waves the bat back and forth, back and forth. Bell winds and deals. Mercer swings and misses. Took a big rip, put himself all the way around strike field. The Yankees are leading 2-0, top half of the third. Keegan about as deep as he can get in right field. The wind up, the pitch. Low outside. One ball and two strikes. One, two pitch to Mercer. Swung on a missed strike three. Another big shot. And Mercer is out on strike. For the Yankees, no runs, a base hit. There were no errors and nobody left. At the end of 2.5, the score is New York 2, Seattle nothing.
Your Atlantic dealer is bringing you fine china from across the sea. Elegant, delicate, beautiful. China you'll be proud to display on your table. But the big, big news is this. This excitingly beautiful china is yours for a fantastically low price. Lower than you'd believe possible. Now, through an exclusive offer at participating Atlantic dealers, you can purchase a four-piece plate setting of fine china at an exceptionally low price with each 8 gallons of gasoline. This offer may vary in some states. Each four-piece plate setting consists of a cup, saucer, dinner plate, and bread and butter plate. We call this fine china royal elegance. Each delicate piece captures the beauty and good taste of sets that sell for many, many times the price. Accessory pieces to complete your fine china set can also be purchased at your participating Atlantic dealer for an amazing low price. And if you'd like to charge your Royal Elegance dishes on your Atlantic Richfield credit card, we'll be our guest. Start collecting your sets of fine china today. Royal Elegance is worth going after.
Well, we got a big crowd here at Sick Stadium in Seattle, Washington. We've got some big days coming up at Yankee Stadium. May 25th, ball day. June the 15th, bat day. Why not get a group together and come out to the ballpark? Just get in touch with the group sales department, Yankee Stadium, Bronx, New York, and they'll take care of your needs, whether it's a group of five or a group of 500.
Good advice, Jerry. Gary Bell, the leadoff batter for Seattle, checks his swing and takes ball one. Gary Bell has had a couple of hits this year. He's 2 for 11, batting 182. He's knocked in 2 runs with a single and a double. Right-hand hitter, the 1-0 pitch. Check swing and it's low. Ball two. No sinker coming in just a little bit too low. 2-0 pitch. Low again, ball three. Stottlemyre had the plate, but downstairs. A lot of moving around in the stands, whether it's from folks still coming in or those who have been to concession stand, we don't know. 3-0 pitch, Bell steps back, takes it all the way, 3-1. There's some beer drinkers out here in the stands, huh? See some of those big cups. Stottlemyre, 3-1 pitch. Bell takes ball four down low. So Bell is on with a leadoff walk. The first base on ball is given up by Stottlemyre. Bell has struck out one, allowed two base hits. The Yankees are leading 2-0 in the ball game, and the batter will be Tommy Harper. Of course, Stottlemyre didn't want to walk Bell, but if you think about the way this Harper can run on the bases, maybe it's not too bad an idea to have somebody out in front of him in case he gets on. He has 18 stolen bases. He's become quite a favorite with the fans here at Seattle. And that's something the way base stealers are always crowd pleasers. People like to see that action on the bases. Stottlemyre's pitch to him. Strike knee high of the outside corner. Balls and one strike. Bell shortly to first. Papaton holding the pitch. Harper swings and misses strike two. Stottlemyre fanned Harper leading off the first inning. The Washingtonians have turned out en masse tonight to see their native son, Mel Stottlemyre. Mel throws the rubber, leans for Gibbs' sign, checks Bell at first with a look, and the pitch to Harper, outside. Bill Chain has come up with a note. There are four players on American League rosters who were born in the state of Washington, and all four were originally signed by the Yankees. Two pitch coming to Harper. Strike three swinging. He tried to check the swing, and plate umpire John Wright held up until he got a sign from third base umpire Bill Kunkel. So Harper is out on strikes for the second time, the second strikeout for Stottlemyre. One down, and Mike Egan will be the batter.
I think that Gibbs might have swallowed his chaw or something. He's standing out there in midway between the plate and the mound and sort of spitting on the ground. And Gibbs does chew a little bit. Sometimes it'll happen to you.
All right, Jerry, we'll keep an eye down there. Talking about four players from the state of Washington, Gibbs was looking down at his hand, too, his right hand.
Well, I think I gave us some false information. It does appear to be his hand now. He was spitting on the ground there, and I thought maybe he'd swallowed something. But apparently, it's Joe's story, says I have the glasses on, it is going after that index finger. Looks like he might have got a little split finger when he caught the ball. It'll happen occasionally if you get your finger in front of the glove too quickly. So that seems to be the problem now, as we've got the glasses on. They're putting a Band-Aid on that index finger of his right hand.
Here we were talking about the four players from the state of Washington on American League rosters. Fernandez is coming out now to keep Stottlemyre warm. Of course, there's Mel Stottlemyre, Jim Olam, pitcher with the Twins, Roger Repos, an outfielder with the California Angels, and Steve Whitaker, an outfielder with the Seattle Ball Club. The only four players on American League rosters from the state of Washington. Mike Egan. Gibbs is okay now after Sawyer's work on the index finger of his right hand. Pepitone will not hold now against Bell. He's going to back off with the left hand hitting Egan up there. Pepitone will play halfway. Gresh and Clark up the middle. Kenny wide and close at third. The outfield to the right. The pitch low to Hegan. Ball one. Hegan grounded out unassisted to Pepitone right down the line in the first inning. That has a bearing on the way Joe's playing him now. He'd rather give Bell, the pitcher, an extra step lead there at first base and be in position for that ground ball should it come his way. Bell deals, and Hegan fouls it back. One ball, one strike. Taking his time. Now brings the hands at the set and the pitch to Hegan. Foul back overhead. The four players we mentioned a moment ago from the state of Washington were all signed to contracts by Yankee scout Eddie Taylor in this area. The scout, Jerry tells me, since 1959 for the Yankees. Stottlemyre was asked at the luncheon in his honor yesterday why he chose the Yankees. The questioner said, I presume you had other offers, and Mel said, you presume wrong. 1-2 pitch. Bounce to the right side. Clark charging it out. Only one play. He's got to hurry there. He's got it at first base in a close play. Bell moves up as Clark throws out Hegan. Two down, and Tommy Davis will step in. Yes, Mel said that if he referred to him, Mr. Taylor. But the only scout that ever made it across the mountains to the valley where he was living. I'm told it's a beautiful valley over there. They raise cherries and apples. Not too many miles from here. All right, Tommy Davis. Fly to Hall in right center his first time up. Takes a fastball on away. One ball and no strikes. Bell at second. The Yankees leading 2-0 in the ball game here in the bottom half of the third inning. Stottlemyre bends for Gibbs' sign. Penny is backed off at third. There's the set. And the 1-0 pitch. Rifle foul down the left side. When they get this ballpark finished, or this park has been here a long time. When they get the improvements finished, they tell me they'll be able to seat about 28,500. They cannot seat that many now. And Jerry, the seats that there are pretty well filled. We see some spaces out there in the bleachers, but not too many.
I don't know what their biggest crowd of the year was, but I think it was just over 14,000 or somewhere in that vicinity. And we could surpass that tonight. We'll have to wait and see.
1-1 pitch will be coming to Tommy Davis. Bell at second, two outs. Here it is, foul back. One ball and two strikes. Stottlemyre was asked how he felt about pitching in a comparatively small ballpark, and he said it doesn't particularly bother him. He said, we've got as many chances to score a lot of runs as the other club. For example, Fenway Park didn't bother him that much. He figured he might give up a few more than normal, but Yankees should score a few more. Right now, it's 2-0, Yankees. The 1-2 pitch to Tommy Davis. Bounce slowly toward Kenny at third. He's got it. Fires to Pepitone in time, and the side is retired. And Jerry Kenny, over there at third base, has made another play. No runs, no hits. No errors, a walk a man left. At the end of three, the score, the Yankees 2 and the Pilots nothing. And the scoreboard shows the Yankees 2 runs, 3 hits, no errors. The Pilots no runs, 2 hits, and no errors. Elsewhere, at the end of 4.5 innings, Boston leads Oakland 2-1. Nagy pitching for the Red Sox and Nash for Oakland. At Detroit, at the end of 6.5, the White Sox 1 and the Tigers nothing. That game has been delayed because of rain. At the end of four innings, Washington won California nothing. Barry Moore against Andy Messersmith. Senators, after having quite a winning streak going, have now lost six in a row. Mike Epstein homered for the only run in that ballgame in his fifth of the year. Cleveland at Kansas City, the Indians won it 8-6. Ellsworth the winner, Rooker the loser. Horton a pair of home runs for the Indians, Fernandez for Kansas City. And Minnesota beat Baltimore 4-2 in the Twin Cities with Boswell the winner and Cuellar the loser, Carew homered to win it. Atlanta shaded the Mets 4-3. 10-3 Houston over Montreal. Dodgers and Cardinals rained out. Cincinnati beat Philadelphia 6-4. San Francisco 11, Pittsburgh 8. And Chicago 19, San Diego nothing. We go to the fourth, and going right along with it, here's Jerry Coleman. Jerry?
All right, Frank. Ray White is stepping in there and takes a curve ball on the outside corner. Strike one, and the fourth inning is underway with the Yankees leading 2-0. Virtue of Bobby Mercer's 10th home run in the first inning, a two-run shot with Jerry Kenney aboard. Here's Gary Bell once again to Roy White. Swings and misses, strike two. White walked in the first inning. Roy coming into the ballgame, batting at 264. Defense straight away, infield and outfield. Gary Bell ready, the right-hander. Slips one outside to Roy White. A ball and two strikes. White has lost four ball games so far due to military duty, and he'll lose a couple of weeks coming up in the not too far distant future. The 1-2 pitch to Roy is just outside. Bell thought he had a 2-2. White has 24 hits in 91 at bats. Five of those doubles, two home runs, and 12 RBIs, and seven stolen bases. White choking way up in the bat from the left side. A good 6 inches off the end. Here's the 2-2 pitch. It's a check swing foul on the left side. Dick Houser, the third base coach for the Yankees, over there to retrieve it. Elston Howard does the job at first base for New York. Just got an official recording on the largest crowd ever so far this year here at Six Stadium. White hits one on the ground to the first baseman, Don Mincher. Flips the bell just in time as White slides into first base, but he's out of there. The play going 3-1. First base to the pitcher covering. The top crowd so far this year was on opening day, 15,014. It appears as though we have a packed house here tonight. Although in the bleachers, it's pretty hard to tell because there are just seats without the actual partitions between each seat. Sort of boards, and you can squeeze together much closer than they are out there tonight if you want to. Here is Joe Pepitone. Foul to the catcher into that unusual double play. Pepe takes outside, ball one. Pepitone popped up to the catcher. Roy White went past second base and did not touch the bag coming back, and on an appeal play was out. The double play went 2-1-6. Joe Pepitone takes low for two balls and no strikes. Seattle has made a couple of double plays tonight, one in the first and again in the third. But the Yankees out in front 2-0. One down right now, we're in the fourth. Pepe on top of the plate. Holds the bat straight up and down, waits. Gary Bell delivers. Pepitone hits one high in the air behind the shortstop. Ray Oyler is going back. Now the left fielder, Tommy Davis, coming in and calling him off and makes the play. Two down. Let's pause right now for station identification.
Harry Downey reminding you I could call you for Upside Downey's here on WGY 10 on your dial, Schenectady.
Here's Jimmy Hall moving in to fly to left field in the second inning, facing the right-handed veteran, Gary Bell. Bell acquired in the expansion draft from the Boston Red Sox, goes into the windup. The pitch to Hall is outside. One ball, no strike. Word just in, Reggie Jackson has hit his 11th for the Oakland A's, and they now lead. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, they do lead the Boston Red Sox 3-2 after five. Paul takes a curveball inside. Two balls, no strikes. Yankees play again tomorrow night, and then an all-night flight into New York. We'll all play on Thursday, and at the stadium Friday evening against the California Angels. Jimmy Hall playing center field tonight. Waiting. Pitch by Bell. Misses outside for 3-0. Three balls, no strikes. On deck, Tommy Tresh. Gary Bell looking in at the pilot dugout. Has the sign. Into the windup. Here's the 3-0 pitch to Hall, and he takes it for a strike. 3-1. The game started tonight. 70 degrees. And as Frank told you, one of the unusual streaks of fine weather in early May here in the Pacific Northwest. It's been beautiful the last few days. The 3-1 pitch to Hall. Up the middle of base hit. A sizzler over the glove of Gary Bell, the pitcher. Jimmy Hall comes up with a base hit. That's number 4 for the Yankees. A two-out single in the fourth inning. Now Tommy Tresh, who attempted to bunt for a base hit in the second and was thrown out by the pitcher, moves in. Tresh hitting 189 as the game got underway. Tommy had a couple of base hits last night. Had a rough go of it as far as the hitting is concerned. Down near the end of the bat again, he swings and misses. Strike one. Tresh went way up off the end of the bat, 3 or 4 inches, but now, with each passing day, seems to be creeping back to his old habits. Tresh, actually, I would say, is not more than a half inch off the end of the bat right now. Moving off first, the pitch to Tommy out in front as he swings and misses. Strike two. Nothing in two, the count. Yankees out in front, 2-0, fourth inning. He just tuned in. Mercer did his 10th in the first inning. What a job Bobby Mercer has done for the Yankees so far. He is headed toward a spot in the American League All-Star team this year. Let's see how he can miss the way it's going. Leads the American League in RBIs at 34 right now. Here's the pitch by Gary Bell. The Tresh, it's outside. A ball and two strikes. Tommy with 18 base hits and 96 at-bats. Two doubles, two triples. Got one of those doubles last night. And six RBIs. Tom waits. There goes Hall. A ball hit on the ground. To the right side. Nice stop by Harper. Nobody can he get as Hall heads into third base and Tresh has himself an infield single. Tommy Harper moves far to knock the ball down. Tommy Tresh has a stretch single. Over to third base goes Jimmy Hall. That's hit number 5 off Gary Bell. Two out, and here's Jay Gibbs, who walked in the second. Yankees with runners at first and third. And now Jerry McNerney, the catcher, up to have a word with his pitcher, Gary Bell. You can see Harper moving after the ball and catching up to it, but when he knocked it down, he ran right by it. Best he could do was to stop it.
I say, Jerry, Jimmy Hall was traveling pretty well going around those bases from first to third, too. He turned it on.
Hall has deceptive speed. He started as a center fielder with the Minnesota Twins, but he's been able to move around with pretty good speed through most of his career. Here's Gibbs, who takes high and outside for ball one. Jake Gibbs, batting at 219 as the game got underway. Back in action after that collision in Oakland with Campy Campanaris. Widespread stance. Waiting from the left side. Here's the 1-0 pitch. It's outside. Two balls, no strikes.
So, Jerry Gibbs has quite a sense of humor. He has a deep south sense of humor. Talking to him about the positions he played, and I asked Jake Taylor to play the outfield in the major league game. He said, no, I've been trying to go out past you for a couple of years, but Ralph won't let me.
That catching gets to be a long afternoon, and in particular on those doubleheaders. All right, Jake waits. Here's the pitch by Bell. He misses outside for 3-0.
Just keep the record straight. Jake was kidding. It was just his sense of humor. He said he really enjoyed catching. He wasn't so sure about it at first, but since he started catching, he really enjoys that position.
And one of the reasons he enjoys it is because he's developed into one of the American League's best and a fine defensive receiver. Gary Bell is taking a lot of time out there. So on the rubber now steps off. Three balls, no strikes, two outs. Thresh at first, Hall at third. Gibbs at the plate. On deck, the pitcher Mel Fallemeyer, not a bad hitter. Here's the pitch to Jake. He takes it low in there, loaded up. Second walk to Jake Gibbs, and number three off Gary Bell. Gibbs down to first, Thresh to second, Hall holds the third, and here's Mel Stottlemyre, who lined deep to left field in the second inning. Mel Stottlemyre with a chance to help his own cause. The Yankees are leading 2-0, but with two outs, the bases are loaded here in the fourth. Bell will take his windup. The first pitch by the right-hander to Stottlemyre is low and inside for a ball. Hall at third base. Tommy Thresh at second. Gibbs at first. One ball, no strike to Mel Stottlemyre as John O'Donohue starts to warm up in the Seattle Pilot bullpen. O'Donohue, a left-hander. Here's Bell, ready. The 1-0 pitch. Misses outside, 2-0. You see why the Yankees will see so many left-hand pitchers, as many as the other team can throw at them, because in tonight's lineup, only one batter is bats from the right side, and that's Mel Stottlemyre. Here's Sal Magley heading out to visit with Gary Bell. Magley, the pitching coach, the barber, known by so many New York fans. He's one of the few ball players in history who plays for all three New York ball clubs, Yankees, Dodgers, and the Giants. Of course, got his greatest fame as a New York Giants pitcher. So Magley says what he has to say to Gary Bell. Gary Bell's been around, I think, for his 11th year. Not much you can say to a pro like this except settle down, get the ball over, make this pitcher hit you. The 2-0 pitch to Stottlemyre on the ground. A one-hopper to Rich Rods at third base. The fourth is on stretch, and the side is retired. For the Yankees, no runs on two hits, three men left. The score after 3.5, Yankees lead the Seattle Pilots 2-0.
Hi, this is Greg Morris for Vista, volunteers in service to America. You know, we're a lot like our Mission Impossible force. They're constantly running into problems. But unlike Mission Impossible, the Vista volunteer can't solve his problem in 60 minutes of time. Like the people on our show, he needs patience, understanding, and dedication. But he needs even more, because his job isn't glamorous. It isn't publicized. It isn't financially rewarding. It's just satisfying. It involves helping people help themselves to break the poverty cycle. And when you've helped people regain their pride and dignity, you've really done a year's work. That's what Vista's all about. Hard work, low pay, and some dedicated people. Find out if you're right for Vista. Find out if Vista's right for you. Vista. Drop us a card. That's VISTA, Box A, Washington, D.C. VISTA, Box A, Washington, D.C.
We have just a moment here. Stottlemyre completes his warm-up throws, and I'll use that moment to remind everybody, well, primarily moms and dads right now, because I'm having youngsters most of them tucked away. But mom and dad, remember, it's a big day for the youngsters. Sunday, May 25th at Yankee Stadium, because that will be ball day. Every boy and girl, 14 years of age and under, accompanied by an adult, will receive a free baseball, courtesy of the Yankees. And you get two games for the price of one there, too. The Minnesota Twins in for a doubleheader. So we'll see all the youngsters on ball day, Sunday, May 25th at the stadium.
Right now, Frank, it's Mel Stottlemyre going up against John Mincher, Wayne Comer, and Rich Rollins. Moving into the bottom of the fourth inning, Yankees leading the Pilots 2-0. Ballemeyer's first pitch to Mincher. He attempts a bunt and misses strike one. That's something you don't see this big guy do too often. Mincher had a scratch single to second in the second inning. He's one for one. Don came into the ballgame batting at 232. Seven home runs, 17 RBIs.
He came up there, sir, and saw that double outfield. He thinks he's a throw cut. Trice and Clark way back there.
All right, Stottlemyre to Mincher. Takes it low. One and one. This big guy. This was in the 10th inning on Sunday. Hit a home run to win the ball game for the Pilots against the Senators. 6-5. Mincher waiting. Stottlemyre ready. The 1-1 delivery is low. Two balls and a strike.
Nice to see, Jerry, that a fellow like Don Mincher apparently has recovered from a rather serious beating that he took last year early in the season.
Sometimes ball players never get over those things, as we all know. Others just bounce back as though nothing ever happened. The 2-1 pitch by Mel is low and inside. Took a little off the curveball for 3-1. The Pilots are trying to win their fifth straight. And the Yankees are trying to stop a five-game slide. They've lost five in a row. They won their first one against California, but they lost the next one at Anaheim, 3 in Oakland, and the one last night. Here's the 3-1 pitch. Mincher hits it on the ground. Clark to his left. Knocks it down. Can he recover? Not in time. Don Mincher gets the second infield hit to Horace Clark. A leadoff single in the bottom of the fourth inning. Clark stopped the ball moving to his left, but he was moving so rapidly that as he knocked the ball down, he just kept going by it. By the time he recovered to get to it, Mincher was on at first base with a second infield hit. That's hit number 3 off Stottlemyre. Now here's Wayne Comer. Hit into a forced play in the second inning. Right-hand batter. Fired from the Detroit Tigers. Batting at 254 right now. Three homers, 11 RBIs. Well, it's not too big. That he can reach the seats. For those of you who may have just tuned in, the power alleys in right and left center, only 345 here at Sixth Stadium in Seattle. Stottlemyre to Comer. Slider misses outside for a ball. This stadium is Sick. S-I-C-K, named after Emil Sick, who was a longtime owner of the minor league Seattle Rainiers. I believe he owned a brewery here. Rainier Beer, local brewery on the West Coast. There's a check swing called strike. One ball and one strike.
Hey, you told me how they named the stadium, Jerry. I thought the pitchers got together in the year.
I can understand why they call it a Sick ballpark here in the... There's a little levity going here because of the short fences. Here's the 1-1 delivery. Fouled up. One ball, two strikes. Jim Bouton, the ex-Yankee, came up with a great one the other day. He said that manager Joe Schultz won't even let the pitchers watch the other team take batting practice because it upsets himself. Just didn't want them to see what happens in batting practice. Now, if you watch Pepitone in batting practice, he hit 4 in a row deep into the tiers in right field. This ballpark also is only a one-tier stadium. We're on the roof, and that's all there is at the second level. Just the press box. No seats up here. One ball, two strikes. Nobody out. Mincher at first. Yanks leading 2-0. Stottlemyre fires, and Comer hits one high in the air to short left. Going back to Stresch, coming on his right. Bright calling for the ball, makes the play. One away. And now the third baseman, Rich Rollins, who fly to left field in the second inning, comes in. Began his big league career in 1962 with the Minnesota Twins, stayed with them through last year, and now with the Seattle Pilots. Had a couple of big years, 298 and 307 in his first two major league years. Then tailed off to 249, 245, 245, 214. Right now, Rollins is batting at 218. This one on the ground into right field, almost got Mincher heading around toward second, and Don. Stops at second base, but then goes on to third as the ball is bobbled by Bobby Mercer. And I believe Mercer will be charged with it. Strange play. Mincher was almost hit by the ball, leaped over it,
stopped at second base, and when Mercer bobbled the ball, kicked off to his left, Mincher continued on to third. But there was a hit and an error. Hit for Rollins, error, charge to Mercer, runners at first and third, one down, and the batter coming on now is the catcher, Jerry McNerney, who had an infield single in the second inning. That's hit number four of Salamire, and the only hit that got out of the infield. Four infield hits, all to Horace Clark. He's been a busy man, running back and forth, knocking them down, and unable to pick them up in time to throw the batters out. But Rollins finally gets one into the outfield. The runners are at first and third. Yankees are leading 2-0. We're in the last of the fourth, and here's Jerry McNerney. McNerney came into the ballgame batting 286. That's 17 base hits now and 57 at-bats. There's a delay here. Something apparently happening at third base in a conversation between Frank Scorsetti and Don Mincher. Now everything is okay, as whatever Frank had to say has been said. Ron Plaza searches at first base for the Pilots. Mincher at third. Rollins at first. There's a ground ball just fouled on the left side past Jerry Kenney. Strike one. Pepitone is holding against Rollins. Kenny is back at third. Fresh and Clark at short and second. Double play depth. And as we mentioned, Pepitone holding against Rollins. This is the toughest spot that Stottlemyre has been in the ballgame. One down. The runners are first and third. McNerney, a right-hand hitter, waits. Here's the pitch by Mill. Hit the left field. That could be a way back there. It's wrong. Jerry McNerney puts the Pilots out in front by a score of 3-2. And that is McNerney's first home run of the year. RBIs 11, 12, and 13. The 345 mark by about 10 feet. Roy White standing at the fence trying to climb it, couldn't do anything about it, and just watched it sail away. Well, the Pirates take the lead here in the bottom of the fourth inning, 3-2. A three-run shot by Jerry McNerney, his first home run of the year. Now here's Ray Orta, the shortstop, who bounced to third in the second. Backed away from a high and tight fastball, ball one. Fans here after last night getting on Stottlemyre just a wee bit. That's what precipitated the riot last night when Pat knocked Mercer down and Mercer barreled into Euler and everything broke loose. Here's the 1-0 pitch by Mel to Euler in there, 1-1. I asked Mel Stottlemyre if he was a little bit tense with his family here and all his friends from Grandview and Madison, and he said, well, he would be before the game started, as he was at that time, but he said, once I throw the first pitch, it's absolutely out of my mind. Fastball misses outside to Euler. Two balls and a strike. Pilots countering with three here in the fourth lead, 3-2. The 2-1 pitch, bunted by Euler down the first base side foul.
I think Stottlemyre is nervous with his family here, Jerry. How about Jay Gibb? I think he is Army first sergeant is here tonight.
Don't make anybody nervous in or out of the service. These Army first sergeants, wonderful people, but they're tough on the young recruits. The 2-2 pitch to Euler by Stottlemyre misses high for a full count. Mel is zipping right along. Into the fourth inning, an infield single by Mincher, single by Rollins, and a home run by McNerney, and the Pilots have taken the lead, 3-2. Both teams have five base hits. Mel fires a 3-2 pitch fouled off the shin guard of Jake Gibbs. It's 3-2 as it holds. Totally dark out here now. Just turned that way about 20 minutes ago. The land of the midnight sun when you get up this north. It's far north. The 3-2 pitch, Euler, hit on the fifth for the shortstop, Tommy Trash. He waits for it, makes the play. Two outs. And now Gary Bell, the pitcher who walked in the third inning, stepping in. All the hits have come by Mincher, McNerney, and the other stray, the single by Rollins. Mincher has two, McNerney has two. Five off Stottlemyre thus far. Here's Gary Bell waiting as Mel misses outside for ball one. Gary Bell has two hits in 11 at-bats, batting at 182. Mel again fires low and misses, two balls and no strikes. Stottlemyre won his first five ball games and then dropped his last two, has a record of 5-2 right now, and no record against the Seattle Pilots, this being his first outing against this ball club ever. Mel with a major league mark of 82-61. Bell waits as Stottlemyre fires, and Gary swings and misses. Two balls and a strike. Gary Bell's been around a long time, as we told you, and he's won 120 and lost 114. His record against the Yankees lifetime is 12-13. 1-3 so far this year. Bell takes high. Three balls and one strike. Two outs, three runs in. Pilots leading the Yankees 3-2, last of the fourth. Big crowd on hand. Looks to be a capacity house. Mel ready. The 3-1 pitch on the way to Bell. He misses for ball four, and Stottlemyre, strangely enough, has walked only two batters both times.